Our reading from the Gospel today is from Mark 10, verses 2 through 16. If you would like to follow it in your pew Bibles, please turn to page 43. Listen now and let the Word of God speak to your heart and to your life. Some of the Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house of the disciples, asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. May God bless us in the hearing and the living of this word. Amen.
I don't like talking about divorce. I'll bet many of you don't like talking about divorce either. In fact, some of you might be here thinking right now, "I really hope this rookie pastor isn't about to preach on divorce. You don't want me to preach on it, and I don't want to talk about it." So, knowing I was scheduled to preach this weekend ahead of time, I wasn't very excited when I saw the lectionary passage for today. But after some encouragement from Pastor Jeff, and recognizing how gracious of a congregation we have here at Long Memorial, we decided I should give it a shot anyway. Anyways, there's many reasons people don't like talking about divorce. But the reason I don't like talking about divorce is because I'm scared of what people might say. I'm scared of what people do say. I'm scared of what I have said and the way I have said it. The way I have talked about divorce is in a way removed from the reality of marital separation itself. And it comes from an angle where I try to solve the problem of divorce. It's that pie in the sky ethical debate about when divorce is right or when it's wrong, or under what theoretical conditions it may be the lesser of two evils. I cringe to think that I have actually participated in those kinds of conversations without batting an eye. Or how about when someone rattles off some statistics and tries to show how our society is or is not going down the drain because of divorce? I've been that guy. And I've said things like, "We're all affected by divorce," which may be sort of true, but the reality is we are not all affected by divorce in the same way, and especially not to the same degree as some others. It's as if I need to be able to explain it somehow. Why do we need to try to explain other people's brokenness? Like it's a nuisance that we need to get rid ourselves of. All these rules, all these arguments, all these words, these rules that try to prevent divorce at the expense of the people who are divorced or who are the children of divorce. Some of us forget that divorce is not just some momentary event that happens at one particular instant. Divorce is a reality that some people live inside every day. And claiming it as this constant evil, this problem to fix, it avoids the fact that there are some situations where marriage is actually a dangerous place for a spouse or for children, that divorce might actually be safer. This is not for all situations, but for some. And that's what I'm trying to say here. I've debated about all this before. I've tried to explain brokenness and to make rules for everyone. All these rules and debates that can't even come close to the harm, to the suffering of the ripping and tearing of real families and communities, all that hurt. I just kept on talking. And in places where people talk about divorce like this, like I have, it's just not safe space for everybody. So I don't like talking about divorce. But the Pharisees do. With absolutely no regard for the people around them, the Pharisees ask Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" I don't know about you, but I imagine all the crowd getting really tense when they bring this up, when the Pharisees bring this up. And I picture some of the crowd thinking, oh no, is Jesus about to talk about divorce with these guys? It says that the Pharisees wanted to test Jesus, and talking abstractly about divorce is the surest way to trap someone into saying something contradictory. Now Jesus hears their question, and he hears something specific in their question, so he presses back at them slightly to see if they're saying what he thinks they're saying. "Well, what did Moses command you?" They say, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." There it is again. Jesus is sure now. What he hears in their abstract speech about divorce is subtle, but it's key. He hears them legitimizing their culture run by men, wherein women are completely disposable and bear the entire burden of this divorce. Did you hear it in their question? And what they said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal. And what is this burden that these women and these children have to bear? They're cast out of the community. They're ostracized. Being guarded by the safety of these general rules and laws about divorce, it's a safe place for these men. They are totally willing to talk about divorce. It's the women who are the ones completely shunned from their communities. It's the children. In fact, in that time and place, women could not actually file for divorce at all. Only men could. These male-centered rules were the Pharisees' answer to the brokenness of separation. And into that brokenness, the Pharisees figured, hey, let's talk about rules. What resulted was that they tried to eliminate the brokenness by eliminating the people from the community who were impacted the most, the women and children, all through these abstract rules that served these guys best. But Jesus sees the specific people affected by divorce. He hears their hearts racing right beside him. Maybe in this instance, Jesus remembers how close he came to being the child of divorce. Remember Matthew 1:19? Mary's husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. So this cannot remain an abstract issue for Jesus. Those Pharisees are not simply talking about some random situation. They're talking about his mother, Mary. They're talking about her almost being excommunicated from the community. This is personal. Have you ever thought to think about who was there beside Jesus during this conversation? Who was around them? I imagine many of those who ended up following Jesus were the very women sent away from those communities because of divorce. Women no longer welcome among their own people, with no safe community, except with this traveling eccentric who seemed to accept them for some reason. Maybe that's the story of Mary Magdalene, or Martha, or the woman who washes his feet with her tears and hair and anoints them with oil. They could be divorced with these specific women in mind and with them standing right next to him. Jesus responds, quit with all this abstract posturing. Let's get real. Do you know who you're talking about? These are our mothers and our sisters, God's precious creation. Remember that story? God made them male and female. Stop using rules to throw these women and children out of your lives and communities like they don't matter. The Pharisees didn't want to deal with the brokenness of those around them. They wanted to look like they had it all together by talking about divorce, using rules, and without thinking about those most impacted. That is why Jesus says in verse 9, therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate. He's talking to those Pharisees with their hardened hearts and their rules that separated women and children from their communities. He's sick of these abstract laws being used to ostracize the vulnerable away from society. Jesus is restoring community here. He's breaking down the walls of abstract conversations and rules that push out vulnerable people, making them secondary, forgotten. He raises his voice on behalf of those broken people who have no safe place to be. But the amazing thing about Jesus in this lectionary text is that he doesn't just tell us how this works. He shows us. He says to his disciples, let them come to me. Who? These children? Even these children of divorce? Yes, especially them. Do not stop them. Do not get in their way. Let them come to me. But what about these women and men who've been divorced? Surely they're not fit to be near you. Peter, Andrew, John, look around you. Where else can they go? Let them come to me. I will give them rest. They are safe around me. I will not hold oppressive and abstract rules and laws over their heads. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love the last line of the passage from today. It says, and Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. It is there, around Jesus, tight around his body, in his arms, that this restored community of broken people comes together, where they can be safe, near him, and where we can be safe. Near him, we are safe to be divorced. In his presence, we are safe to be broken. We, the church, are that group of broken people, crowding in around him, longing to feel the safe embrace of his arms, reaching out to feel his healing touch. And it's there, crowding around Jesus' body, that I realize that all my abstract talking about divorce, about rules and ethics that separate us and create unsafe space, it all needs to stop. All my unhelpful words that try to fix the problem, they stand in the way of people coming to Jesus in the same way that the disciples were holding back the children from coming to Jesus. This Sunday is World Communion Sunday. It's a special Sunday when we recognize one of those abstract things that has kept us as Christians separated from one another, denominations. We are reminded that there is not only divorce between individual people, but divorce between groups of people. The history of the church is not always a pretty one. It's a history of people getting caught up in those abstract theologies and debates and separating ourselves from one another. So on World Communion Sunday, today, the United Methodist Church, alongside many other Christian denominations across the world, we acknowledge that when we all come to Jesus, when we crowd around his body, we have to share that space together. We got to make it work somehow. Today, we stop talking about all these abstract things that separate us, and about all those reasons that we have sent away people from our midst because we judged them to be unworthy. The way in which we do all of this is by coming to the communion table. Here, we crowd around his body together. None of us stand in anyone's way. We receive his body and blood, and he receives us. Here at the table, around his body, he receives us as a divorced church, as divorced people, as the children of divorce, as the broken crowd. Let all who are hungry come to the table. May no one stand in our way. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.